And really kind of some of the latter verses of what we were in last week, I think God had more to say, and so I'm going to kind of back up a little bit and stay in that. I would like to mention, while you're opening your Bibles to Mark chapter 10, we're going to be right around verse 40. I'm going to make a quick mention so I don't forget at the end of the service. Tonight at 6 p.m. when we meet back together for our evening service, we're going to be going through study, and it goes along with a kind of a documentary movie that was put together called In His Image. And so we're going to be talking about God and His sovereign plan for man and woman, and why He has made us the way we are, and how we should view sexuality and things of that nature, even in today's culture, because God's plan hasn't changed. Amen? And so basically what we're going to do is we're going to take that in bite-sized pieces. We're going to watch about 12 minutes of the presentation tonight, and then we're going to stop, and we're going to have some questions from their study guide, and so it'll be very interactive, and then we're going to get into a couple scriptures. And I think that this is something that will be very helpful for all of us. It comes from the perspective of people who have been confused about their even gender or sexuality. And then God has drawn them out. It also comes from the perspective of family members, seeing other family members go through that, and how did they respond? And then it comes from the perspective of how does the church respond to that, and how are we useful in this day to be able to answer some of these questions for people that are struggling. So it's a very good study, and we'll be looking forward to that. So please come back at 6 p.m., and we will do that together. So let's look at Mark chapter 10. We're going to be starting our reading right around verse 40, which is right in the middle of a thought. So I'm going to kind of sum up what was going on before this. We got James and John. They were known of as the Sons of Thunder. And they had been walking along with Jesus. They had been listening to Jesus and hearing what Jesus had to say. And there was a certain amount of fearful expectation that was beginning to build within the whole group of disciples, because Jesus keeps telling them, we're going to Jerusalem, and I'm going to die at the hands of sinful men. I'm just going to tell you guys, if you're walking with Jesus and that's what he's telling you, you're realizing that's going to have an impact on your life. Do I get an amen? If they kill our leader, guess what? They're probably going to be looking for us next, if not at the same time. So they understood that that had personal implications. And last week we talked about how it was, we sometimes can have the I problem. We keep looking at what's in it for me? And James and John, they were thinking, hey, if all this is coming to an end and we're going to be eventually sitting on thrones, why not me and my brother having the throne to the left and the right of Jesus? So they go to him, and they basically, I'm going to add a little bit to this, I suppose, just in paraphrase. Jesus has told us anything that we want, if we agree on it, he's going to give it to us, right? And so I think that they're kind of going along this thing, Hey, we agree on it, so we'll just go and ask him for the two most prominent places in the kingdom. Okay, one right beside him here and there. Well, let me always help to remind us, guys, he's not in it to just give us what we want. He wants to give us what we need. And no matter what we ask, we need to pray that we're asking according to his will. Boy, wouldn't it be a terrible world if we could twist God's arm and make him do what we want rather than what he has already ordained? And so prayer is this balance between us realizing needs. And why do you realize needs? It's because God is the one leading you to realize those needs. Because God already has a plan. He wants to connect us with his purposes and his will so that then we can see it happen. We get to be a part of the process. Okay, so we're going to kind of pick it up at the aftermath of John, James and John asking this question. We read from Matthew in the parallel references. We find out they even put their mom up to going out and asking him. They got mom involved. Hey, mom. Go tell Jesus you want us to be on his right and left. Okay? So basically they were thinking about themselves in this whole picture. And so we can all sit here and say, boy, if I'd have been one of the other disciples, that would have been pretty distasteful, don't you think? We'd have been sitting there thinking, well, hey, wait a minute. What about us? You see, because we got an eye problem too. And so we realize everybody's got an eye problem. And so let's go ahead and pick it up. We'll just start at verse 39. And they said to him, we are able able to what? To have the baptism that he's going to have, to drink from the cup that he's going to drink. And Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink the cup that I drink. And with the baptism that I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared. And when the ten heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Guys, here's the thing. We look around at our world right now, and this past year, and looking at all the political struggle in our nation and things of that nature, we really shouldn't be too shocked by that, because worldwide, there's a really huge problem with everybody wanting to have the highest position. And if we see, that problem isn't absent even sometimes from the people who are following God. We have to be careful on this, because there's a certain amount of selfishness that resides in everybody's heart. And so we got to keep this in check. And so what we begin to find out here is Jesus is pointing out that God has a particular will for each and every one of us. Amen? And so as he calls us out, we just read in our youth Sunday school today in the book of Romans chapter 11 that God's calling and gifts are irrevocable. God has a calling on our lives. First of all, unto salvation. And then, as we receive that, he shows us he's got gifts to give us so that we can use it for the way that he has called us to use it in our lives. You may not always embrace what God has for you, but I can tell you God does have something prepared for you personally. He has something prepared for me personally. And what our best plan is, let's embrace whatever God has called us to do, and let's desire to do that and to do it with our everything. Let's ask him for the strength to be able to carry out his will for our lives, if it happens to be to sit on the seat next to him. And to me, that sounds very intimidating. Although I do want to be close to God, I want you to think about what they were asking. They were saying, you're going to be ruling someday. We want to be ruling with you. Well, as it turns out, guys, he's got a plan for us to rule with him during the millennial kingdom. He's got a plan for us. But don't seek for some kind of super high position. God, give me a crown. Let me wear it. What he wants you to do is do everything that you do for his glory, because he's got a plan. Let's embrace his plan. You see, while you're maybe wanting the highest position, or me or someone else, that may creep into our thoughts and minds, and Satan tempts us with that, because guess what? He's wanting the highest position, isn't he? That's why he got thrown out of heaven. He was an angel who decided he wanted the worship. Well, that ain't going to work. You know what? While you may be desiring that, there's others who are wanting the same position. If we look in this scripture, we find out, and when the ten heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. Why is that? Because they were asking for the position they wanted. Hey, how come not me and, one of the other disciples have the right love? How dare you think that that's yours? Guys, really, rather than being displeased with each other, why don't we just ask God what his will is? And then we'll take up that place. And let it be done decently and in order, it says in 1 Corinthians. So let's just take up the place that God has for us. In fact, James gets into it a little bit deeper. He gets to the core of the matter in James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Who's he writing this letter to? The church. Guys, even in the church, sometimes we're having disagreements. Amen? So where do these wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? Guys, I'm going to tell you, when James and John asked that question, I don't think that they were just thinking of what would be best for the kingdom. They had a desire for pleasure in their heart that was driving that question. And in fact, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Do we ever go to God like that? Not really wondering what would be best for God's kingdom. What is God's will? God, show me your will and I'll pray it back to you. But rather, we go there and say, I got wants and desires for pleasure and I'm bringing them to you, God, and I want you to give me whatever I want. You think that ever happens? And that's what happens in a lot of families. That's what happens, dare I say, in a lot of marriages. I'll give a little pause for suspense on this one. That's what happens when our children come to us and they're demanding certain things. That's what happens in an awful lot of areas of society, and we got to be careful that we don't give ourselves over to this. Because as soon as we do, you know what? We're going to start to fight and war. We're going to start to have problems. In verse 2, it says, you lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. Well, you might think, man, I've never murdered anybody. But Jesus said, if you've hated without cause in your heart, it's as though you've murdered. Right? And he says, you lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You see, James and John were almost kind of demanding, weren't they? We're going to ask and we want you to give us whatever we want. And here he's saying, it's okay to ask, but make sure in the next statement, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. God wants to provide for us. God wants to give us the things that we need. God really wants to provide for us so that then, guys, we can actually be using it to build his kingdom. God's will is the key to having true satisfaction and contentment in life. Contentment with godliness is great gain, Paul says. So let's continue on in this thought. So first of all, if you're wanting the high position, you need to remember there's a whole lot of other people wanting that high position. If everybody's insisting on it, it's going to cause fights and wars. And guys, before you know it, somebody's going to get murdered in the deal, and we don't want that, right? And so who is Lord in your life is really what the question is we need to ask. Who's Lord in your life? It's easy to look over there and say, well, that person or that person, but let's look at ourselves. Who's really the Lord of my life? Because you see, whenever I said that I became a Christian, I was supposed to be agreeing that Jesus is my Lord. And so in Mark chapter 10, verse 42, but Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them. Why did James and John want the two most prominent positions? I know it sounds like I'm picking on them. But guys, I can relate to them. I'm one of the 10 percenters that's kind of type A, and we think that, you know, I grew up, I'm going to tell you, if you'd have known me at 30 years old, you'd have seen a real type A. I never questioned my judgment on anything. I thought I was right, and I didn't understand why everybody else couldn't just get in with it. You know, you want to see something get done? Stop telling me how to do it and just get behind me. We'll do it. That was me. And you know what? God has helped to humble me through the years to show me that at least sometimes I might be wrong. But here's the deal. He's always right. You see, among the Gentiles, and that's who was ruling over them, they could see what rulers looked like there. And you know what? It was very distasteful to them. They just lorded over them. They just told them what to do. And their great ones exercised authority over them. But guess what? He said, it shouldn't be so for us, because you know why? There's only room for one Lord to sit on your throne. And if you get that part right, if he really becomes the Lord over your throne, then self-interest begins to go off to the side. God's interest starts to become front and center. And whenever we get that part right, then all those fights and wars of us trying to push our weight around, they just go away. He says, yet it shall not be so among you. Not, it may not be so, or most of the time it won't be so, but he says that in the church, among the believers, that's not how it's done. Because who's Lord? Jesus is Lord. Who's the shepherd of this church? It's not me, and it's not any of you. It's Jesus. He's the good shepherd. Now, he does sovereignly call out different people to be under-shepherds. And then beyond that, you have those that you're shepherding as well. And beyond that, we're going to teach them how to shepherd others as well. Because sheep need shepherds. But you see, sometimes we get in these fights and quarrels and things, there's division even among God's people because it's our desires that we're trying to accomplish. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be what? Your servant. So like the way to become great in the kingdom of heaven is to agree to be a servant. And a servant to who? He says, and whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. So then I'll say, well, then I just won't be first. And then I don't really have to be a slave to anybody. I don't think that's really the point here. He's saying, guys, the way to go up in the kingdom is to get down on your knees before the Lord in humility. Let's ask him how we can serve each other. Let's ask him how we can be a servant of all. Who's all? Yeah, I think it means all. So, if we're saying in our heart, I don't really have that problem, and I'm not really wanting the highest position. In fact, I'll just willingly take the lowest position. That way I don't have to serve anybody. I'm going to say if you're willingly taking the lowest position, that means that you're willing to serve everybody. So let's just have the heart of a servant, because that's why God saved us. He wants you to get off the throne of your life and the throne of your heart and let him to have that position, right? My family right now, John and Haley and their children, they're looking for a house to live. In fact, that was a prayer concern today. It's a good thing that they want a house. You know what? Whenever they go to buy a house or whatever or rent a house, they're going to want the whole house. In fact, for their size family, they need the whole house, don't you, sister? But what if somebody said, well, I'm going to sell you the whole house, but I'm going to go ahead and live in the master bedroom. Don't bother, I'll just sneak around the house when you're not looking, but I'm going to stay there, and I get the most prominent position. I get to control all the bathrooms, too. But you can have the rest of the house. What would you say to that? You'd probably go, sorry, that ain't going to work. I'm afraid sometimes we call on Jesus to be our Lord and then we tell him you can have every room except for like this one room. And I'm saving that one for me. You can name the room. It might be self-defense, self-protection, self-love. It might be, your area of sexuality. It could be a bad habit or a drug or something like that. Maybe you just got this one room in your house and you're saying, Jesus, you can have it all, but you can't have that one. I don't think that's going to work out very well. Either he's Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. So we really need to give him lordship over our home. Now, do you still struggle with that area? Absolutely, you may. But here's the thing. Don't wrestle with him over it because you won't win. We either give him the whole home of our heart or we're being disobedient. And so if you really want to allow him to be the Lord of your throne, the throne of your life, then I want you to consider, maybe you're saying, well, I don't want to be a servant to other people. Let's consider him for a minute. If he's your Lord and you're trying to become more like him, that's what the word Christian actually means. It means Christ-like, little Christ, okay? If we're trying to become more like him, let's look at him then as our example. So are we better than Jesus? That's the question. Are we better than Jesus? Because in Mark 10:45, the very next verse, look at what he says. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Can you say praise the Lord to that? We're really thankful that he came to serve, aren't we? Because if he'd have come and called all debts to be final, all payments had to be made in full, we'd all be in hell today. But you see, he chose to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So rather than coming into the kingdom and thinking, well, I should get the highest position, I think it's a whole lot better for us to just be willing to serve, don't you think? That was actually his heart whenever he saved you. When he saved me, was he desired for me to serve. I'm saved to serve. I'm not better than Jesus. Jesus served. Heaven is only for the humble at heart. You know, it's very important that we remember that. In fact, in Revelation 4, 9 through 11, we see this thing about crowns. A lot of people talk about crowns, gaining crowns or jewels for their crown in heaven and stuff like that. I've heard that a lot. Well, let's see what happens to crowns in heaven. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, in Revelation chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, this one who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, verse 10, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." You see, whatever thing that we might receive through our service here on earth, pour it out as a praise to God. Because I can tell you, we can't do anything without him. He deserves all of the honor and glory and all of the praise. And he's going to get it. That is a depiction of what is happening in heaven and what is going to happen forever and ever and ever. And I'm going to end with Psalm 51, verses 16 and 17, guys. This is David after he sinned with Bathsheba, and he came back to God and he repented. You see, David was taking the throne of his own life, and he was doing what he wanted. He was doing what felt good to him. He was doing what his flesh desired. And then he comes back to God at this point, and he's repenting. And let me tell you, God received his repentance. So let's say praise the Lord to that. Amen. And David started to realize something. He says, "For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart." Guys, that's the opposite of proud. Okay? You know, we may come in here real proud of all the things we know from the Bible. We may be real proud of our theological, you know, prowess and how we've got all this great learning. We may come in here real proud that I worked hard all week and real proud that, man, I'm in church this Sunday. I don't know. You know, pride creeps in. It's weird. It's like the insidious sin that just keeps creeping in. I want you to realize that doesn't please God. What God wants from us is a humble and contrite heart. And he says, "These, O God, you will not despise." You know what's going to make heaven so awesome? There ain't going to be no pride there. Nobody's going to be fighting for positions up there. We even see these 24 elders. Many ask, who are the 24 elders? I think it's representatives from the 12 tribes and also the 12 apostles. That's who I think they are. But what I see is there's no pride there. Whatever crown they have, whatever glory that they might have received for a job well done or whatever, they realize it wasn't them anyways. It was always God all along. And so they're just pouring it out before the Lord. And guys, I just want you to know, let's just be pouring it out to him now, and it'll only be natural for us to pour it out when we get to heaven. Let's pour out all of our sacrifice. Let's have a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart before the Lord, not a proud one. All that pride is what causes the death and destruction and all the lording over of each other. Guys, here's the thing. If you're saved, you're saved to serve. Serve who? All. Anyone we have an opportunity to. I've shared before, one time I was doing a ministry job and the person that I was working for got, they were apparently just having a really bad day and they got real aggravated and started kind of really letting me have it. And it really just put me in a bad place. And I went home and I argued with God and I said, God, I don't even know if I'm going to go back over there. Because, I mean, the lady, she was really letting me have it. And I felt like I was doing everything I could. I was pulled in two and I was working. That was my second job, so to speak. But anyway, it was like God just very quietly said, I thought you said you were doing it for me. It's really a good response, I would say. Because here's the thing, if you're doing it for God, it don't require a thanks from anyone else. You can just serve, and you can keep serving. And even if you never get recognized by other people, it won't matter. You know? There's nobody undeserving of our service because we're not just doing it for them. We need to be doing it for Jesus. What did Jesus do for us? He gave it all. Let me pray for you. Dear Father, I just want to pray, first of all, for myself and for all this congregation, Lord. Thank you that I see many servants in this congregation. I want to reassure them today that it's not going unnoticed in your kingdom. Lord, let it all be as a praise and an offering to you because you're the one who gave all. Lord, I think the greatest thing that you want is our heart. You told us no one can serve two masters because we'll wind up hating the one and loving the other, despising the one and serving the other and loving the other. But Lord, what we need to do is we need to make sure that we can't serve both God and mammon or worldly riches. We can't serve pride and expect you to really be leading our lives. We can't have a haughty and a proud heart coming to you and demanding things of you. That's not what you desire. Even if we tried to bring a sacrifice before you and say, oh, Lord, look at what I did. Now I'm going to give it to you as a sacrifice. That isn't really what you're looking for. You're wanting our heart. And so, Lord, help us to have a willing and a contrite heart. Help us to come before you and be willing to serve others in your name. Give us that servant's heart. And, Lord, we will take whatever position in this thing that you give us. Help us to just be humble and just answer your call. Want to do your will and let you be the Lord over our life. Sometimes that puts us in a position that we're out of our comfort zone. But Lord, I pray that we will willingly say yes to whatever you're calling us to. Lord, some of us, you may be calling us to salvation, and that means a surrender of our will and a surrender of our life to you in salvation. We cannot save ourselves. No amount of good works can ever undo the bad. Only the work of the perfect Son of God dying on the cross will ever satisfy that requirement. So help us to take upon ourselves the substitutionary death of you on the cross and to agree with you that you be the Lord over our life. Thank you that on the third day you raised from the dead. On the 40th day past that, you went back to heaven and you are at the right hand of the Father. You are making intercession for us right now. Lord, if there's anyone here that hasn't surrendered their heart to you, I pray today might be the day of salvation. And Lord, help us to be willing to serve. In Jesus' name, amen.